My topic for these meetings is the human dilemma and the God who is able. Now, we shouldn't have picked that topic because then we scheduled ourselves some dilemmas. One of the episodes, we're not going to tell you all of the obstacles we had to overcome to come, but a few nights ago, we had just a rockin' thunderstorm. One of those thunderstorms that all the kids would be in bed with you if you had little ones. The dogs would want to come in, too. It was just a wild night. Then about 3 o'clock in the morning, it sounded like the National Guard had set up their batteries out there and fired them. And although I don't believe in coming off the bed, I was probably off the bed and when that explosion took place. Now, the Lord undertakes when you don't necessarily have the sharpest mentality about how to handle technology. We got up in the morning and my dear wife went in and she said, "Whoops, this computer I think is fried." And of course, all of these wonderful visuals were part of her work. 11 messages. And she said, I said, "Rest easy, dear. We have young people that we allow to stay at our house. They don't have just men, no women. I know women can shovel snow too, but we expect the guys to help out a little bit. They don't have to pay anything and they get a free meal once in a while." But I said, "Have no fear, Carol. Mike Manning, who's at Art, teaches technology, he's an electrical engineer at Mass, and a worker. I said, I'm just sure he put a device on that thing that backs up data." And when we saw that, it was like, this is an instrument from heaven. We got that on our laptop, and wow, there it was. We found the data that we thought was missing. So thank the Lord for that. Then this morning, Carol got up and she said, "The back of my heel, the Achilles tendon, is just aching." And I said, "Have you been running any wind sprints? You're not out for football, are you? What's going on with you?" And so anyway, we did the hot and cold and stopped a few times coming down here to get some ice on it. But I said, this is the wrong place to come with one wheel not working very well. But, you know, I thought, well, maybe I can borrow a tractor, take her around. Or the Subaru is all-wheel drive, and it's a powerful machine, so we can get that going. But anyway, we're glad to be here. We're thankful that you're here. And tonight, we'll just pick up this topic of the God who is able with all the human dilemmas that we have. And a number of them are listed up here. Do you want to dim the lights, Mr. Matt?
Pew.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, he's going to give me... Yeah, get me a little light. Every once in a while, I can preach in the dark, and I have done it. That'll be fine. There are lots of questions that people face today, but I think the biggest question is, are you born again? And aren't you thankful the Lord said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly"? And so we can ask the question, do you have it? Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life, that you have hope beyond this life, that you have peace, that you have a relationship with God? Do you have it? And of course, do you have Christ as your Savior? It's easy to be raised in a Christian home. It's easy to go to camp. But one day, at our meeting, we had a young man stand up and say, I'm tired of fooling you people. I was not saved, but I want you to know that I've trusted Christ personally as my Savior. I don't know if you remember that, Emery and Shelley, but we were glad for his testimony and that he came to know the Lord as his Savior. Well, you know, the Lord is, you talk about getting those kids out of the cave in Thailand. That was quite a rescue operation. But, you know, the Lord has provided all that's necessary for any and all of us to be rescued. I like what it says in Hebrews 2. And it says this, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And you can raise that question, can't you? Is there any escape if you neglect God's salvation? You know, just in case the preacher wants to continue, I think I better get my Bible. Nobody took it, did they? I think it's in this bag. This is one reason you should come early. But here it is, discovered. You don't want to lose your Bible. You can lose a lot of things, but don't lose your Bible. There were men who walked with Jesus. There were people that heard him. And what a treat it would be to be with one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody's on a journey. I had a young lady's service on the way down. She wanted to do anything for me. And I said, you're just a young person. I'm an older person. You're on a journey. May I give you a message besides a tip? And she said, I'll take the tip first. No, she didn't. But we got it for her. So what should be our response when the Lord invites us to himself? You know, a lot of times we ask the question, how do you respond? We know that God is sovereign and salvation is the sovereign work of God. But the Lord says, come. He says, come. He says, seek. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. If you seek me, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I would say if you're seeking, you ought to do it earnestly. Amen? You should do it honestly. You should do it humbly. And most important, you should do it obediently. When you come to the Lord, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And I appreciate the prodigal. And I think this story, even though it was a parable, really captures someone who found something called repentance because he changed his mind, he changed his heart, and he took action. He said this, I will go to my Father and say to my Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. You know, I talked to people about the Lord. I had one young person who told me, he said, I'm too bad. And I said, what do you mean you're too bad? He said, I've sinned so much, there's no hope for me. And I said, well, the blood of Jesus Christ is there, and he cleanses us from all sin except yours. Is that what you're saying? He said, well, I don't know. And I said, if he's God, and if his work has eternal value, and your destiny depends upon how you respond to him, then all you need to do is be like the prodigal. Go back to your heavenly Father and say, I have sinned. Admit it. Own up to it. And that's the first step. Another word that's used in Revelation is open. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you will hear my voice, and notice here who the responsibility falls on, and opens the door. And there has to be that heart response where we respond to the Lord and we open our door. And of course, as Christians, we ought to do that every day. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I want you to speak to me. And then, of course, if we confess, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's something about saying publicly before others, before your friends, before your parents, and simply say, and obviously before the God in heaven, Lord, I need you. I'm going to confess you as my Savior and Lord, and I look up to you. Don't you appreciate Billy Graham, who's with the Lord now? And I love that hymn, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. You know, the best thing about the best thing is take action now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the time, isn't it? You come now. And of course, who salvation is, and here we are, Mrs. Moore, the next one. The why, salvation is available to all. Don't you, you know, you think of anyone and everyone, it's the whosoever in life. It's sufficient for all. I'm thankful for that, that it's supremely adequate for any and all. And it's simple enough for most anyone, even a child can understand it. You know, I've had children tell me, you know, my heart was troubled. I know that I'm sinful. And if you're around a kid long enough, you know they're sinful too. And then when they say, you know, I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior, it's hard to deny that they have come in childlike faith and trusting him. And anyone can receive it. Oh, he came unto his own, and his own received it him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Not a wonderful promise in God's word, John chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. When we receive him by faith, we become his own. And isn't that great? Who do you belong to? People have asked, who do you belong to? Well, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also belong to my wife, you know, for how many years? 54 years. Are you counting? 54. 54 years. She's shown a lot of grace in 54 years. Well, it's all because of the Lord. You know, we live in a world where there's so much pain, so much worry, so much heartache, so much hatred, so much hardship, so much disorder and corruption and crime and sickness and plagues and threats and heartaches. And we can say there's plenty of human dilemma, correct? And we face it. So much that is wrong. Well, let's look in God's word about the power to overcome these dire circumstances. Is God able? Is he able? So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8, and this is a story. How many of you try to read through your Bible every year? How many at least try to read through the New Testament every year? That's good. Read through your Bible. And your kids have played this little game when you're going down the road. They try to see something, and then they say, I'm looking at it. And the other kids have to guess. And that's a lot of fun because some of our kids would actually, I think, change what they thought they were seeing. But that's wrong. But, you know, when you read the scriptures, you look at something and you say, can I see something else, Lord, in these passages? And you make sure that I'm speaking truth tonight, but there's some great things here. Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. That's kind of remarkable too, isn't it? If you have water coming over the side of the ship and over the front of the ship, usually people can't sleep. But that's what the Lord was doing. Then the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? When you think about that, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, about 8 miles across. That's a lot of water. And after the wind drops off Mount Hermon and hits it, it can be turbulent, just shake it. We have been just out fishing, and we've been in some, we like to go up to Lake of the Woods, and we've been in some water that Carol didn't like and I didn't like. The guy that was running the boat, it didn't bother him, but it bothered us. We questioned his ability. So they cried, save us. You know, if you sense the Lord is really close, why not ask him to help? And there isn't any storm that any of us face that we can't sense as a believer the Lord's close. And actually, for those who don't know the Lord is close. All I have to do is say, Lord, we need your help. Deliver us. Rescue us. And he's there. Now, I had a dear friend who had high standards about cleanliness. And I lived with her son when I was the first teacher up in Waterloo. Margaret Dunkerton had cancer. It was just in her nasal passageways. It was pretty ugly. And she was going to undergo some very serious surgery. And I said, Margaret, how are you equipped to face this? She said, well, the Lord gave me this, the scripture. And this is Isaiah 12, 1 and 2. Behold, God, or verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. She said, you know, when I trusted Christ long ago, he rescued me from eternal doom. Now I've got a little problem, and he's still the Savior. He still rescues. He's the great physician. So she quieted her heart with that. I was thinking of my mom, who had cancer as well, and she went home to be with the Lord. But ultimately, the verse, I asked her, I said, what verse really touches your life, Mom? And she said, it's Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Do you know that verse? Where the Lord said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, or everlasting peace. So that was her verse. Lord, save us. It's a good thing, isn't it? And I find in my life, there are plenty of times when I just called out to the Lord. I said, this is kind of a difficult thing, Lord, especially with our son in some war zones and a lot of difficult places. We just cried to the Lord to protect him and keep him. The Lord challenged his own by saying, fear not. And I think it's in this passage, might be in Mark, where he told them to fear not. And, you know, if somebody tells you that and the storm is really raging, that's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Fear not. And actually, that command is one of the more common commands in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, that God tells us to fear not. My wife, you know, we're driving on a snowy road. She said, how are you feeling? And I said, I have no fear. That really annoys her. I have no fear. One time we were in a pretty bad situation, and she said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fearful. So that really troubled her. She wasn't ready for that. Isaiah 43, 1 through 4. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, do not fear, for I've redeemed you. Number one. I've summoned you by name, number two. You are mine, number three. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isn't that a great thought? You don't have to go it alone. God is there with you. I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Notice how the pronoun points to something that people possess. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's the one who stands by you in the most difficult time in your life. That's the Lord. And Jesus Christ, by the way, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so fear not. Do not be afraid. You can trust me. One wrote, John Ortberg wrote this, fear disrupts faith and becomes the biggest obstacle to trusting and obeying God. There's a ship captain who was on a little tugboat. He was sent out to rescue another ship in some stormy sea off the Atlantic. And he got out there, and the tugboat got in trouble. It was taking on a lot of water. So although he was not a believer, he, the captain of the ship, and the men on the ship just got down and started praying. And God sent the U.S. John F. Kennedy aircraft carrier to the rescue. They had the SOS. So this huge ship came, and they sent some Navy guys down and got them off that tug, and ultimately the tug went to the bottom of the ocean. But they got them back, and they were interviewed on national TV, and they said, well, aren't you glad the Navy came along and rescued you? They said, oh, no, we're not giving the Navy credit. We're glad for the U.S. John F. Kennedy. But we were praying to God, and he answered our prayer. Just happened to send that big aircraft carrier along to help us, get us out of the ocean. Well, a lot of times we need to replace our fear with our faith. I may not look like it, but I work out. This one guy is a deputy sheriff. I think he's a sergeant. And he is one specimen. He said, I need to look strong because some of these guys have drugs and alcohol. And he says, I just as soon not have them try it. And I said, aren't you afraid? He said, well, I'm afraid that if I don't continue to work out, I'm going to find myself in a situation that's going to be even worse. And so what you're saying is the picture of your strength strikes fear in the hearts of others. He said, that's what I wanted to do. I wouldn't want to deal with him any. And he told me if I ever got in trouble, he'd help me. And I said, Jamie, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I'm not a fighting guy. We don't do that. But I appreciated his encouragement. You know, the Savior is with us. As a believer, the Lord never leaves you. And so we can say, God is with us. And he rebuked their faith. And it's not just faith, not that they believed something or had confidence. It was belief in him. It was not that they just believed something and had some information in their head. It was that they believed his word. In fact, he said, we're going to the other side. And so it's believing him, believing his word. And that's all that was needed. Well, he rebuked the wind and the sea. Here's a little poem that I don't know, I don't have it down. But ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. William Kemper wrote that. And actually that's him. And that actually happened to the three of them that on the Mount of Transfiguration. When the cloud came and the voice came, they were afraid. And so he wrote a poem to capture a better response. Well, there was a great calm. And aren't you thankful that when the Lord provides for you, you can experience his peace in your life? Amen? Amen. Just quiet your heart and you can say, Lord, you've done it again. So thankful for that. What kind of man is that? Can you answer that question? You can't answer that question. He's a man like no other. He's the God-man who came to redeem poor sinners. What kind of man? In the power of the Messiah, he's the one who gives peace. There's a man in our meeting, Keith, who was diagnosed with cancer and had some surgery. And he was really troubled about it. And he's had some complications. But I remember one morning he got up and he said, I asked him, I said, Keith, what do you need? He said, well, I'm troubled. I don't even like to think about it. He said, I just like peace. Peace before I went. Isn't that good? Peace every day of our life. That he, the author of peace, can give us peace, a great calm. We all face huge decisions. We all have to face storms. But I'm thankful we can say, our God is able. Amen? He knows our situation. He cares. He formed us in our mother's womb. He rules. And so the one who knows and cares and rules, we can just quiet our heart and trust him. Here's the way David said it. Psalms 34, 1 to 10. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I like this phrase. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Our son was in Iraq, and there were a group of children and refugees, and he wanted to give a message of hope to them. He'd like to see them helped. So he got up on the back of this Humvee, and he was talking to them. He speaks Arabic as well as Hebrew. And he was on the back of the Humvee. Then he got to thinking, I'm within range of those ISIS positions. And he said, here I'm up on this back of this Humvee talking to these people. And maybe that just captured a little bit, Lord, you better protect me, because maybe I didn't make the wisest decision to get up here and do this. Well, the Lord did protect him, and he's still carrying on. I'm trusting today, and I hope you are, in a God who is powerful. Almighty power is his. I'm trusting in a God who's the author of all wisdom. He knows what's best. He knows the right strategy in any situation. And I'm trusting in a God who loves you and loves me. And how many of our children think that, you know, we have some wisdom, we have some strength, and we love them, but that gives them comfort. Well, we have a heavenly Father. We have a Savior. 2 Timothy 1:7 is a verse that our son memorized as well as his mama memorized it. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So if you have a spirit of fear, where is it coming from? Who gave it to you? What's the origin of it? I'm thankful that we can say in Hebrews 4, we have a great high priest who's passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. We don't have a high priest who's not moved with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain help and find mercy in time of need. I'm so thankful that when I come into his presence, I know that I have audience. He wants to hear me. He longed to support me and help me and provide for me. He also answered a little prayer, and I said, I know this camp is down in the woods, Lord, but make sure we get here. And we did. Thank the Lord for answered prayer.
And GPS.
But you know, it's just like the devil. Turkey Hill Bible Ranches didn't work on iGPS. And I said, I know it's a little bit beyond Freeburg. And then it takes off to the left. And by God's grace, exactly where it was. Although we went flying by it, we had to go down the road and come back. But he got us here. Well, let's look at another story. You know, it's a very difficult thing for a preacher not to have a phone. I didn't bring my watch. All pieces of equipment I should have. Where's the clock? You know, I have great confidence in the world to come because... You need to connect to who first? All right. Thank you very much, your silence. Right on. Good godly man. And he's one of the men in our meeting. I'm so thankful for these younger guys because I know that ultimately down the road we're in good hands. They're going to take care of things. As long as they read their Bibles, walk with the Lord, and seek the well-being of others. Amen? Yeah. All right, let's read about this guy that was demon-possessed. Maybe, is it over at 8 o'clock? Is that when you usually get over? Now, be honest with me.
Yeah, around 8:15
or so. All right, with all these babies, 8 is plenty. We know this story about, and this is in Matthew chapter 8, 28-34. We'll just read that. When he'd come to the other side of the country of the Gerasenes, there met him a demon-possessed man coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce so that no one could pass that way. And I grew up on a farm, and we've had a few bulls in my life that didn't want to allow me to pass, and I've always had the healthiest respect for critters like that. I just wanted to avoid them. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us?" And that's really distorted thinking, isn't it? The Lord came. He didn't come to torment us. He came to comfort us, to give us peace, to bring joy into our life, not to torment us. And they were violent people, and they kept others away. And yet the Son of God went right to them. And I love the description later on when they were found seated, clothed, and in their right mind. And that's what the Lord does, doesn't he? A lot of rebellious, wild sinners who experience Christ in their life are seated, they're clothed, and in their right mind. That's the power of Christ in their life. There is future judgment for those who ignore the Lord. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. The pigs didn't like the demons either. Right over the cliff into the lake. And they went over the cliff, and the owners of the pigs incurred some financial loss, but the power of Christ was made known. He commanded, they left, over the cliff they went. And those who were feeding the swine went in and told the country, and they came out and wanted to see him that was done. They came to Jesus, and seeing him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting, clothed in his right mind, they were afraid. You know what they did? They asked the Lord to leave. Can you think of that? Think about that. Here's two guys, or one guy, whose life has been transformed and changed, and now once that these demons that were controlling him were gone, a remarkable miracle, and the one who accomplished it was there, and they told him to leave. I mean, that's like people today. They can see the Lord working in the lives of others, lives that are changed, yet in their own life, they tell the Lord, "I don't want you. Please leave." And with the beautiful tribute of love, he told the man or men that were healed to go back and tell them what great things the Lord had done for them. And so as they might say no to the Lord, but he sent a testimony back. And that the Lord often does that. And hardened hearts can soften up, and the Lord can speak to them and bring them to himself. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Are there new appetites? Yeah. New associations? Yes. New desires? Yes. That's what he does for us. He was asked to leave the country, and so he left. But he came for one purpose, didn't he? He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And all down through the ages, one wrote, the world has been refusing Jesus and preferred pigs. Sad indeed. We thank God as well that greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Satan does not have the last word. Well, I want to give one more little clip Bible story tonight from Matthew chapter 9, 1 through 8, and it's also Mark 2, 1 through 12. It's one of my favorites. Here's the story. There were four men who brought a friend to the Lord Jesus. The house was filled. There wasn't any room. So what did they do? These four men, and I renamed them Mr. Compassion, Mr. Commitment, Mr. Cooperation, and Mr. Comfort. Now that's biblical alliteration. We don't know what their names were. But it's nice to have a friend who'll bring you to Jesus. How many people have prayed here for somebody? Prayed for kids. Prayed that they would come to know the Lord. And then would take them to camp. How many people have sponsored kids to go to camp? How many times has someone said, you know, I think that would be a good idea if you'd come around or come to the Bible study. And people get saved. They evidenced faith, didn't they? They brought their friend to the Lord Jesus. They brought him, no matter what the problems they encountered. There was no passive resignation. The full house didn't stop them. They took the tile down. People underneath probably got dirty. All that dust and dirt falling down didn't matter. And there might have even been an anger, disapproval. Now picture with me that man that was laying on that mat. Harnessed on the mat. He was looking up in the Savior. And, of course, his big desire was to be saved, right? Or to be be delivered from being paralyzed. What would it be like if the Lord was looking right down at you? You were helpless. What would you think? You think, well, maybe I've heard that he's the healer, he's the friend. But if the Lord was looking at me, I'd feel powerfully uncomfortable if I didn't know him. I feel like, you know, this one knows all about my sin and my failure. And I think that's what that man said, because the Lord spoke to his bigger need. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And it speaks of a relationship. And who could do that? Well, we read in Micah, there is a pardoning God who forgives sins. And only, it's the work of God, both in Micah and in Isaiah. I'm going to ask you a question. Did this man need to go down to the temple and have a trespass offering? Did he need to go down to the temple and have a sin offering? Did he need to go down to the temple and have the peace offering? Would he need the burnt offering? He had the words of Christ, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, when you trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, he says that to you. All your sins, dark and many. I was talking to Paul's wife, Janice's sister, and I said, Janice Costello, just a sweet lady in our meeting, a great worker. We read her testimony one Wednesday night, and she said she was talking about what a big sinner she was. And I said, Janice, I don't believe this. She said, no, it's true. Before God, I'm a sinner. And we're all sinners, aren't we? When we're looking up at the Son of God, we have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner too. I have fallen short of your standards. I don't measure up. Oh, the eyes of the Son of God on this man. Even though he knew, the Lord knew, that the response to that wasn't going to be too good from the doctors of the law. And they were angry when they heard that. Who is this man who forgives sins? You know, something about God, he delights in showing mercy. And he delights in having compassion. and he'll remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 44, it says this, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions. Now, in terms of the new covenant, there are three aspects of it. First of all, there's a relationship with God. This is the end of chapter 8 of Hebrews, a relationship of God. A change within. You know what the last one is? Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You don't have to bring them up either. When God cancels it, removes it, they're gone forever. Well, what evidence did the Lord give that this was real for this man? He said, take up your bed and walk. Now, if you've been convalescent, you know, I remember when I had some surgery, and I said to my wife, I'm going to walk around the block. I got a fourth way around, and I sat down on some concrete, and I called her. I said, bring the car. I don't have any more fuel in the engine. Need some help. But he was healed and he was given strength. I don't know if he was like Chuck Grassley, who can do as many push-ups as he is old. Probably not. But he was strong enough to get up and walk and pick up his mat, that bed that confined him, that bed that defined him. He picked it up and he walked. Jesus was and is God, isn't he? He's a life-giving God. And he fits us for service. And he gave this man both forgiveness of sin and a new lease on life. I would think that every day of his life, he'd get up and thank the Lord. Wouldn't you? What about you? If you've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you get up in the morning and find some time when you can say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for giving me life. And there's something about a walk that pleases the Lord. And I could give you another message on that. But if you read Ephesians, you can pick it out. First of all, you walk in the light. You expect a Christian to walk according to high moral standards, don't you? You'd walk in the light. You have a testimony for the Lord. You walk in love. You're concerned about other people. You walk with wisdom. You demonstrate that you've been reading Proverbs. You have wisdom in your life. You're reading the scriptures. And you certainly don't walk like the pagans walk. And you walk united. You're connected to other brothers. You love each other. You take care of each other. You belong to a family. We ask our believers to do a little testimony. If you haven't learned to do it, you can use it. And lots of human dilemmas can often be used as a bridge to a message for Christ. And here's a simple aspect of that testimony. What was your life before Christ? Can you share that in a couple sentences or three or four? What was the turning point in your life? Maybe a scripture that you have with it. And AD, what about after that decision? What's your life been like since then? And it's wonderful, isn't it? And people can't argue with that. It's your story. You can share your story. He was forgiven. He had freedom. He now had fellowship with the Lord and a new possibility. And I'd say he had joy. And the God who brought that about for him is able. He knows exactly what we need. He provides for us. And now this man was walking for his glory. Here's the verse from Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within him, within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe that God is able? Amen. And there are people in your life and in my life that need the gospel. And since we've experienced his forgiveness, his goodness in our life, and we walk in newness of life, we have a message as well. John MacArthur wrote this, the kingdom of God is for those who are spiritually sick, who want to be healed. spiritually corrupt who want to be cleansed, spiritually poor who want to be rich, spiritually hungry who want to be fed, spiritually dead who want to be made alive. It's for the outcasts who long to become part of God's beloved family. The God of heaven desires to show mercy and compassion to people. Well, I just think I'll close with that poem. John Newton said this: "An evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my mad career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his loving eye on me as near his cross I stood. How can it be? How can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is filled, my heart is thrilled to think he died for me." Amen? Well, thank you, Mrs. Moore, for following along. So good. Fear, storms, and out of control. Power, wisdom, a path of righteousness. Lots of things that the Lord changes in our life. And I'm so thankful for it. I skipped that, honey. So, well, let's pray. Been a good audience. And appreciate it. It's a good beginning. And to think maybe we'll see a meteor shower tomorrow night. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful tonight that in our extremity, in our weakness, in our times of fear, you've revealed yourself. We thank you, Lord, for making yourself known in the storms that Christians encounter. Think of the storm of living without you, living in sin, dead to what you have for us. Pray for any that are here that do not know you as Savior. We pray that they'll respond in faith and trust you. We thank you as well, Lord, that we don't have to be tormented by an evil one or be caught up in this world that's controlled by Satan, but that you set us free. You give us a right mind. You clothe us. You give us peace. We thank you for that. Thank you as well, Lord, that we can say that I'm forgiven because Jesus' work on the cross is sufficient for all of my sin. We're thankful, Lord, that that forgiveness means that I have new hope and new life, and I can walk in a way that will please you and demonstrate that I belong to you. Pray for all of the young people here, for all of us, Lord, that we will choose that path of wisdom and righteousness and avoid the path of sin and folly. Help us, Lord, to stay close to you. Bring glory to your name. Make our days count for your name's sake. We thank you for Turkey Hill. We thank you for all the messages that have been spoken, the young people that have come to know Christ. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful as well, Lord, for our time together. And we just pray that you would draw us close to yourself. Make yourself known to us. Encourage us, we pray. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.